Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, David Patterson, Nicholas Muscle T for B in the house. Dad, what up, what up?
Hey, just a little peanut butter love. That's it.
Oh my goodness, this woman. And this program is sponsored by P4B Muscle, number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Yes, I said it.
World.
I don't care. Don't judge me. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle, you know where this is going, to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. Ice cream for ice cream. And now, hey, let's talk.
Let's talk.
How you doing, Des?
I am good. And in case you missed it, this is Desiree, don't judge me, Fletcher. I am hanging out with Kaylin tonight. And I'm sorry I missed you guys last night. I am. But props to Kaylin for carrying on the show without me. Tell me a little
hard.
Bit about what I missed.
So hard. Well, we had the Dietown Showdown overall last year winner, Chris Salgado. And we had a great talk about, you know, how people that have been busting their butts, but they seem to like come out of nowhere, but really they were just not placing well, so nobody remembered them. Well, Chris was one of those guys that just would place, and then finally he put his butt in gear and knocked himself in line with winning, and that year just basically blew up for him. And everybody said, oh, you know, he had to be on something. And I was thinking, no, this guy finally figured it out. And basically he was being chatted about in negative ways simply because he finally put everything in a row and did it correctly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, public perception is just so unfair sometimes. It can either make or break you, and people really have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, they also don't factor in the work ethic and, you know, basically that when somebody makes a decision, like a mind-altering decision to finally get to the spot everyone expects them to be, and they match up and, you know, the stars align and everything is in place to make it happen. And it does because they just stepped past potential and stepped into production and everything falls into place. And you watch that happen and everybody that supports them and knows the backstory is just so elated. But people that, you know, basically are on the fringe and not really watching what's happening say, oh, he cheated somehow. I just know it. And a lot of people that lose, you know, they say, well, the only reason I lost is because that person used something. And, you know, it kind of sucks because everything that goes into the hard work is dismissed because basically someone was just being lazy about it.
Exactly. And that's, you know, Natty Nation out there, those of you who are listening, I hope, I pray. This is my prayer for you that you're not one of those people, because if you don't know the backstory and you haven't been paying attention, you can't just come in and say, well, that person used something, or they only look like that because they used something. You don't know that. The human body has so much potential. And like Kaylin said, once the mind clicks with the effort and you move past your potential into production, there's almost nothing that you can't do. So please don't judge your fellow athlete by the cover just because you haven't been paying attention to them and they snuck up on you and now you're mad because you haven't done the same work that, you know, that they've been doing. So, you know, show some love and show some support. And if they are using where they shouldn't be, it's going to come to the surface. They don't need you to help that story along.
Exactly. And best segue we ever had just happened right now, because we're going to be talking to a lady tonight that basically just blew the world away when she finally just decided that she was going to be the mama, the woman, the one.
All right.
I mean, she was basically just in any and everything when she stepped on stage, and she knew how to handle the stage and could just draw the audience. And I was just so happy when things started to click for her, because you could see she was right on the fringe, and then finally, boom, explosion. I mean, let's go some old school LL, overpowering over the competition. She's powering. Let's just do that. She was bad. She was the bomb. She was everything. She did everything that she needed to do. And I guess we should let her speak for herself. Yeah, let's do that. Alex, how you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much for your kind words. That really means a lot to me.
No problem.
All right. Well, it sounds like your daughter is excited too.
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on the show tonight. I haven't done this in a while. I used to come on Blog Talk Radio every once in a while, and used to have so much fun with it. So I really appreciate you thinking about me and having me as a guest tonight.
Not a problem.
And we're so excited that you're joining us. So, folks, in case you missed it, this is Alex Ellis. She has been a longtime competitor, as Kaylin set up. She competed for many years, was in the industry, and moved herself up through the amateur ranks, and then all of a sudden she just kind of exploded into the professional ranks. Alex, if you don't mind, why don't you give us a little more introduction about yourself and what you do, and let's just kind of start from the beginning and work through your backstory. That is Alex Ellis.
Sure. I started competing in 2009 at Keith Hunter's show in St. Louis. It was my very first show, and I would say I probably dieted and worked out consistently and never really strayed from my diet for about a year straight until I stepped on stage for the first time. And I thought I looked amazing and didn't really know what to expect. I put hours of posing practice into it and a lot of cardio and a lot of missed events because I sacrificed a lot to get to this stage my first year and stepped on stage and had an amazing experience, competed with some amazing women, and I got to see some pros that year because Keith Hunter puts on a pro and amateur show. So it was very inspiring. I was so motivated watching from behind the curtains the pros up there. So that was my dream. I wanted to be up there with the pros, and not only did I want to be up there with the pros, I wanted to dominate the pros. So I got third at my first show, and then
nice.
I took about 13 weeks off and then competed again at John and Becky Arnold's show, which was, it was Shauna Myers' show back in 2009. So I got second place at that show. And then yeah. I was just hungry. I was, like, right on the edge. So then I competed in, I think it was Bradley or DeKalb. I can't remember which show it was, but it was the USA, so it was a super pro qualifier. And I won my class in that, but I couldn't get my pro card because there weren't enough women in the tall class, and the girl in the tall class beat me out for my pro card. So that just, which is, it was amazing that it happened that way because it just kind of put me in a position to where I just wanted it so bad, and I knew what I had to do. I knew that I had to take off over a year and build muscle because that was my, and lean out a little bit more. So I just needed that, a little bit more maturity in the sport, and I would be there. And I told myself that the next show that I did, the show that I would run my pro card at would be the biggest national show, and I competed at the Southern States Classic in Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
And
big.
There were 96 girls in figure that year. It was the biggest
wow.
team that they've had. I remember there were 16 girls in my class, and I just remember standing in line backstage pumping up. I'm like, oh, I'm screwed. I am so screwed. These girls are huge. They're lean. And I thought, I mean, it was the leanest that I've ever been. I put on a lot of muscle. I came in completely different. And really hammered my posing, worked on my T-walk, and I had signed up in between the pre-judging and finals because I knew that I wasn't going, I thought in my head that I was not going to win. So I was going to give it another shot in 4 weeks in Iowa, and I filled out the paperwork and everything because I was that sure that I was not going to win. And we went out for awards, and it called top five, and I was surprised that I was in top five. And then, you know, when you're on stage, you just don't know how other people look compared to you. Like, nobody knows except for the judges. I don't even care if you're on the audience. Nobody can see what you really do look like unless you are on that judges panel. And I was like, I'm not as hard as these girls. I'm not as big. These girls are huge, lean. There were some bodybuilders that were competing, crossing over into figure. And they called 5-4-3, and I was just standing up there by myself, and I'm like, oh, man, I just won. And then I went out for the overall, and I was just in shock. I was just so shocked that I won my class, and went out for the overall, and there were four height classes, so I was in, like, medium tall. And they turned us all around, and they called me out for the overall, and I just couldn't believe it. It was what I worked so hard for so long, and everything just came together at once. So from that moment, I was like, okay, I'm going to do my first pro show. And then it just kind of, the ball just kept rolling from there. And I think I met Kaylin at my first pro show, the Heart of America, in 2011 or 12, I can't really remember, but
it was 2011,
I went in there thinking, oh, well, I'm a pro now, so it's gonna, you know, I'm gonna have to work my way up to the top, and I won my first pro show, which was awesome. I met so many people at that show, and it's been such an experience. It just connecting with people, meeting people that have really helped me in my journey through all of the pro shows that I did, and at times I just didn't feel like competing, and I just felt like I had so much pressure on me, and these people were just like, you know, you have to do it for you and no one else, and just everyone just helped me along the way. So I definitely didn't do it by myself. I had a lot of support, and people really believed in me. It's so funny. I have a T-Walk video from my first pro show, and Kaylin was sitting next to whoever was recording it, and he says, and I can tell it's Kaylin, he goes, well, she did her homework. It's so funny. I mean, because it's totally, like, it's just awesome that people could see the hard work that I put into it. So from there, I've done 26 or 27 shows total in my career.
Wow.
In a 4-year period. So, or no, 5-year period with a year off. And I would do about 6 shows a year.
That's still an aggressive schedule.
It is. It is very aggressive. I was on a roll with it. I was having fun with it. But I started to get caught up in things, and I started to look at the sport to hold me accountable for my weight. Because when I started competing in this sport, I was overweight. I lost 50 pounds starting off just by cleaning up things. I mean, I was always an athlete, and I was a collegiate athlete. I ran track and field. I was a heptathlete. I played every sport in high school, and just very active, and just let myself go, and got into some bad things in my 19, 20, 21 age range, and then I just found the sport of bodybuilding, which was kind of my addiction to alcohol and drugs kind of just shifted over to it being addicted to a sport. So and anyone who has that personality like I do, it's all or nothing. So every time after a show, I would kind of fall back into that, oh, I'll have a couple of drinks just to celebrate, and then I would set a show about 4 or 5 months later, and that would hold me accountable to get back on the stage and to drop weight again. So I did a lot of yo-yo dieting. Didn't really do any kind of reverse dieting at the time. All of the information that we know now today is not what people knew before. Reverse dieting And
so can we stop there for just a second?
Sure.
And I'm going to cut you off, but let's talk about that a little bit. So what was the information like back then compared to, you know, the things that we know today or the knowledge that's been imparted now? I mean, what, you know, what was the, I guess the, I can't even, why am I stuttering? Oh, my gosh. What was the?
I don't know.
I can't even say it. I can't even say it. What was the norm back then for most athletes once they came off a show? I mean, what was expected that they would do?
The norm was it just based off of where I, you know, I'm in St. Louis. It's a huge bodybuilding city. And I worked out at this, I worked out at Powerhouse at the time. So there were tons of bodybuilders there. And competitors, and typically people would just take a whole week off from training, from their diet, and you would gain all of the weight back that you worked so hard to get off. You would gain it all back within a week. And anyone who was falling off their diet completely and just ate whatever they wanted because they were trying to get it in because they didn't have anything, you know, you didn't have a goal after a show, so you're like, well, I can have this because I haven't had it for 16
yep.
or 20 weeks. So
mm-hmm.
you just eat everything that you've wanted for that long, and you just kind of cram it in. Macros was not, like counting macros and kind of just flexible dieting was not very big at the time. I was very unfamiliar with it. I was on strict chicken, fish, asparagus, broccoli, steak every once in a while, potato, you know, sweet potato, just the general like bodybuilding foods, I guess you would call it at the time. And, you know, you can only do so, you know, you can only cook chicken so many ways. So it was nice to be able to just like go out and eat cupcakes. And I just had this sweet tooth because I never let myself cheat. I felt so bad if I let myself cheat on my diet. So never did that. And then after a week, you just kind of get back to where you were, you know, just eating more. Your calories increased so much from where you were through peak week, and you just kind of went back to that cycle, and it was very unhealthy. And
yes.
99% of the time, you don't go back on your diet after a week. You usually just keep on eating the stuff because you just don't have a goal. So what kept me in check was to have to set another goal. Well, I have mm-hmm. to be on stage in this little tiny suit in 12 weeks, so I need to get it together. That became a cycle for 3, maybe 4 years. So
mm-hmm.
it was very difficult for my body to, I mean, your body's just in shock. So it's very hard to get yourself back on track after that. And so I started dieting down for the wrong reasons.
Now, there's some things in there that you know, I'd love to touch on if you don't mind.
Sure.
And one of them is the fact that there was, like you were saying, there was a lot of bro science that had infiltrated the good health community. And, you know, it's sad to say most of the top competitors were using some of that because that's basically what we knew. And, you know, you hate that, you know, it's almost like we were guinea pigging ourselves to figure
mm-hmm.
out what works and what doesn't. And like you said, it is incredibly hard on your body.
It is. It's very hard to lean out after that. And you just see your body going in the opposite direction very quickly. So mentally, it's very difficult to think, oh my gosh, I did all of these hours of cardio and trained so hard, and I just don't even look like I've done anything, just in 1 week. I would say
mm-hmm.
sometimes
mm-hmm.
I would go so crazy on my diet that, you know, after or post-show for a couple of days that it looked, I mean, I have gained almost 20 pounds in a week before. Now, this was earlier on in my bodybuilding career. Like, this was still when I was an amateur. Then I started, and I knew that, so I only allowed myself the night of the show to cheat and then the rest of the next day, and then I would be back on my plan on Monday morning no excuses whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And you have so many people on the outside, family members, friends, people who just, oh, you haven't been out with me in this many weeks. Let's go catch up.
Yes.
And you feel like you owe that to people, but you really don't.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no.
Say it again.
It was a lot of catching up for lost time.
Say it again. Oh, my God. That's I'm so glad you said that. I am so, so glad that you said that. Just say it one more time so everybody heard. I don't want anybody to miss what you just said.
What, about owing it to people? You feel like you owe it to people, but
yes.
You don't? Yes.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You don't owe that to anyone.
Freak.
I mean,
because
it's true.
Most of the time, through a prep, I wasn't even going out and eating dinner with these people on a regular basis, but they, you know, they want to celebrate. Oh, well, you've restricted yourself for so long, so let's go out and indulge in pizza and, you know, just go crazy. It's like some people just want to see you just live, quote, normal.
Well, they want to see you be
a bodybuilder.
Like
you don't know what normal is. your normal
right.
is going to the gym every day and dieting. So you just start to feel like crap afterwards and your body is just going in reverse and it's, you know, you have to, you know, I tell all of my clients, once you get finished with the show, I expect you to reverse diet, but I've literally only had about 4 successful clients, including myself, do a full reverse diet. Out
mm-hmm.
of hundreds of clients, it is very difficult to do.
So,
because, like you said,
let's talk about that
is
for
there.
A second.
Go ahead, Ed.
Nope, you go ahead.
Well, what I was saying is that the pressure is there, and you know, like I was saying, it's almost like you're being guilted into doing something you don't normally do. And, you know, it's family and it's friends, and you do feel an obligation because it's family and friends. But it's like she's saying, your why has to be stronger than their let us. And it sometimes gets thrown away, as the best way to say it, where you say, well, you know, it's for a good cause. But it, like she said, if you're not feeling like you, if you're hating you, and that's what it comes down to sometimes, where you say, this is so against who I am, but I'm doing it basically to please others, you've already settled for less, and no mind and no body will feel comfortable that way. And, you know, we have to be careful of that because this is the life we've chosen. We haven't asked anyone else to choose that life, but they dang sure have to understand that it is our life.
Yes, absolutely. Just like any other hobby that your friends or family have, you have to respect that, and whatever they have to do, or sport and training or whatever they're going through, you wouldn't put them in a bad situation afterwards. But no one really knows what can happen to your body after a competition, after weeks and weeks and months, sometimes a year of dieting. You have to be very cautious and gentle with yourself because you can do a lot to your hormones, you can do a lot to your metabolism, and it's kind of a scary thing because I've seen it happen a lot in the industry. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I lived it. I have had some issues, some hormone issues after I competed for such a long time and just the yo-yo effect, and I'm so glad that I got it under control and I didn't let myself get to that point where I was binge eating after competitions anymore and making myself so sick.
Mm-hmm.
But I've recognized that and I knew that was a problem early on in my career, so I did what I could to change it. It's just very hard. Reverse dieting is so difficult, and it's, you know, when you're feeling good and you're 4 weeks out from a competition, you think in your head, like you think all the time, I am not going to screw this up. I love what I look like right now. I love how I feel. But when you get off stage and eat that cupcake, you're done. It's over. it's that so I love how I feel. I'm going to stay on my reverse diet is not going to happen.
No. It's a cupcake thing. It always
So I just over the years, I've learned to incorporate those things into my diet just in moderation so I wouldn't go crazy after a show. Every single show, I learned something different about myself. And that helped me learn how other people work too. And it's so nice because now people are very open with their nutrition and science, and so many coaches share information, whether it's good or bad information or it's just science that's thrown out there. It's nice to see what other people have to say about it and people's experiences. But I have learned that it's 99% it's mental.
Mm-hmm.
You are in control of what you put in your body and, you know, in what you're doing to diet. So it's just very nice that we have social media so we can see all of this information out there and we can reach out to people and hopefully they can give us good information about the healthy way to reverse diet or giving opinions about what we should do for our nutrition. And I don't think that we had that back when I first started doing this. It was a lot
not
of unknown.
Not even close. I'll be a witness to that. It was just frightening. Some of the things I would read, and it would just horrify me because, you know, there was no logic to what was being told other than it worked for so-and-so. And I would be like, well, you know, I grew up on one meal a day. I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. It's just because, you know, I did it. I was thinking, well, what kind of logic is that? Well, so-and-so got shot in the foot. Well, it just went through his shoe, but nobody knew that. It just looked like he got shot in the foot, and he was still able to run a marathon. Well, great for him. But if it's no logic to it, I just didn't understand half of what was being said. Like you said, coming from a sports background, a lot of things simply had to make sense to me. And a lot of things that we were doing in bodybuilding didn't make any sense at all.
No. Not at all. I mean, we kind of continue on tradition and diet how people used to diet 30, 40 years ago. And that might have worked for them, but we live in a there's so much more information. Every single year there's something new out. So, you know, you keep seeing these freaks in these competitions that are like, where did this person come from? And, you know, it's like when you look at Pro Figure from 2009 compared to Pro Figure in 2015 and 16, it is like, where did these girls, what are they doing differently? What are they taking? They're probably not even taking anything. You know, natural bodybuilders don't really take anything outside of just the basic supplements. So It's just the training methods, the way that we do cardio, the science, the information that we know and we utilize in our training that makes us look like that. We've tried everything, and every single year people keep on getting bigger and leaner. So it's really cool to see the sport change throughout the years.
So you are a coach, and you have your own competitive team. And it sounds like that you've been able to pull a lot from your own experience in helping your clients. What are some of the issues that you're seeing today, or challenges that you're seeing today more so with clients than that may be different than you faced when you first started, or it's the same thing that just still hasn't been rectified yet? As far as being a natural competitive bodybuilder,
there's so many different layers to it. It's very different now than it was just 5 years ago coaching women. I only coach women, so the dynamic of the sport has changed so much, and the mindset is I have evolved into this, into a different coach than I was. And I truly feel like wherever the coach is at that moment in their life and how dedicated and committed they are to the sport directly reflects how their clients are going to be.
I agree.
Because when I had an amazing team, I mean, a huge, solid, amazing team. I mean, there were too many people on the team for me to focus on each and every one of them individually. Starting off, I had just won my first pro show, did Yorton, I was coming off of Yorton, and I said, I'm going to start coaching because I put a couple years in just studying the science and the nutrition part of it. And I really wanted to start coaching and just be involved with it because that was my life at the time. And it was very important for me to just kind of regurgitate that knowledge back to my clients and help them pose and help them pick the right suit and just make sure that they looked absolutely flawless on stage. And as the years went on and I started having less fun on stage and not enjoying the process and just absolutely hating every minute of it, I started bringing so much negativity to my clients. And they started, you know, and it would show through with them on stage, and it just was not fair. And actually, when this is off, completely off the subject, and I'll get back to your question. When I told everyone, I said, I'm retiring, I'm finished competing, no one believed me. And I really think that people still don't believe me because they're like, when are you getting back on stage? There's no way. It's hard for me to actually even go to a bodybuilding show now because I've seen so much negativity in the sport. It's gotten so catty. Mm-hmm. It's now not competition of what you look like on stage, but it's what coach you're with or how much cardio a day that you're doing or what kind of diet you're doing. And there's so much bashing other coaches backstage and other competitors when we are all killing ourselves just to get on stage and be turned like a piece of meat for 15 minutes. And all of this negativity comes, and I got such a bad taste in my mouth. But I had a contract with a couple of sponsors, and I had to ride it out for another year. And I just was not – it was the worst year that I had in coaching because I was so negative about the sport. I saw a lot of the politics behind – not just in the natural organizations, because I have clients that compete in non-natural organizations too. So I just saw all of the layers to it. I saw, like, what judges were saying to each other and – how people just treated each other and the backstabbing. And it's more anymore, it's like a team sport. It's like what team is going to win the most pro cards this year, or, you know, it was never a team sport 5-10 years ago. And now it's just all about how many clients you're going to bring to this show and, you know, who has, you know, the best methods or who can steal whoever's clients. And it's just a lot of verbal bashing, especially on social media. And I saw it all happen and I was just over it. I was done with it. And I needed to move on. And I told myself that when I finished competing, I was not going to coach any more bodybuilding, any kind of figure, bikini, anyone. But I had one of my clients come to me, I think it was 2 weeks after Worlds in the last year that I competed in 2014. And she's like, I heard word that you were not going to do this anymore, but I really need your help. She was battling an eating. She was coming off of a really bad eating disorder. And I have just a good connection with my clients on that end of things and just trying to find balance. And I can just really relate to my clients and share my experiences with them, good and bad, to help them become better athletes. And I only take people who are really serious about competing and who really, really want to do well in the sport and who are dedicated. And I can tell that just from the first consultation if they are going to be the right client for me. Because I just don't like the bullshit. Oh, sorry. I don't like the...
No, go ahead.
I don't like that, the cattiness and the how rude people are to each other and how disrespectful other coaches are to each other. And I didn't want to take part in that. So I started going to competitions with my hood up, sitting in the corner, trying not to talk to anyone because I just didn't want anything to do with that. And, you know, then I realized it's not fair for my clients to go through this with me because I was having an issue with people. So, I don't know. I learned a lot about it. My clients, it's definitely evolved for them too. I feel like the biggest thing that has changed over the years for my clients is just the dieting methods and people, you know, taking advice from like 5 different people in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Not just listening to one person. Because there's so many people that are trying to grab those competitors. Oh, you look good. What are you doing? Tell me about your workouts. Well, maybe you should do this. So that's very difficult for my clients.
I think, you know, it's a booming thing right now because, like you said, nobody expected natural athletes to actually progress the way they've been progressing. And I think it's basically just every right piece of information on a right physique with the right mindset, with the right coach and nutritionist. And these things basically took the natural physiques and just did something special because, you're talking to, what we used to see in 5 years, you're seeing in 6 months. And then what you're seeing in a year is used to be 7 years, you know. Just with the form, the function, and like Chris was talking about, the compound movements, there's so many things that we didn't know that we know now. And basically the bodies have always been ready. And, you know, you figure all the years of working out and the muscle maturity, you can't expect any less than what we've been seeing. And I'm really excited about it because it's done healthy. That the one thing I really, like you were saying, and I've said this from day one, it scared me when some of the people backstage would tell me what they were doing to get ready for a show. And what kind of sport basically puts you next to death? And, you know, 50 or something, carbs or what? Are you kidding? You know, I know women that are 98 pounds that are getting more carbs than some of these guys that are close to 200 pounds. And it was just frightening to hear those things. And then to see somebody, I said, there's no way you can be enjoying this. And every sport I've been involved with, I wanted to enjoy it because, hey, that's why I'm there. I want to be happy, I want to have fun, and I want to enjoy it. And you're telling me that basically you starved yourself to the point of unhealth, and you're trying to say you look the healthiest out there? And it shows, like you were saying, because we had the bad experience, you looked out there and people looked lean and muscular, but you see what a full, healthy, muscular can look like now, it's night and day difference.
Yeah, it's so...
And I would just say...
real quick, I would just say, and so much so that... To some of the points that we've been talking about earlier in the show, that when people see it, they think that something unnatural is happening in order for those kind of results to take place. I mean, you hear it in the gym all the time, you know, just even this last week, earlier this week, just a day or two ago, you know, another P4P athlete who's been busting her butt. She's outside trying to reach outside of her comfort zone to improve her game, go to the next level. And you know, outside of the people closest to her, everyone else is asking, well, what is she doing to do that? And it's not, well, what is she eating or how much is she working out? It's, well, what is she taking to get that kind of look or that kind of effect? They just can't believe that the natural body can do that.
Yeah. That's very true. And I know Alex had heard that when she started filling out, and it was a lot of people, you know, I think that Alex, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the things that was always on you was there's no way a woman her size can carry around that much muscle with that much muscle size.
Yeah, I got that a lot. Not directly to my face, which is very interesting, but a lot of people just talking behind my back, and that would eventually get around to me. So I heard that you were taking this, and I was like, oh, I am? Because I didn't know that I was taking that. Are you guys injecting it in my food? Or, you know, people somehow knew more incorrect information about me than I knew about myself. So it's you can't just say, well, I've just been working my ass off for 4 years and, you know, and eating. I got that big from eating. I mean, just a ridiculous amount of food. I used to wake up in the middle of the night to eat. I used to set my alarm and wake up in the middle of the night to eat. And I put in the work. I was competing 1 year at 112 pounds, and then 2 years later I was competing at 136 pounds. Oh, well, and much leaner, too. I think my body fat percentage was about
dropped.
Four or 5%. So, you know, backstage people are like, oh, my gosh, what did you take? What are you doing differently? What kind of supplements are you taking? And it's, you know, it's not even about the supplements. It's about how hard you're working and being consistent throughout the years. And, you know, making sure that you're getting enough food so you don't just wither away to nothing and just you have to start back from square one. So, you know, I feel like we're always, as natural bodybuilders and natural athletes, I feel like we are constantly trying to defend ourselves, which is unfortunate.
Yes. What's even more,
we can't even just work out and get big anymore without being able to, you know, without being accused of taking something.
Yeah, but you know, I think what happened was a lot of people made the mistake of not knowing, and you know, lack of knowledge is a drive between any kind of progression, and there are so many, and well, I'll say weak-minded men. And a lot of women that basically follow along behind it because they don't have that understanding. They say it can't be done. That's the one thing that always stresses me sometimes is because I can't do it, it can't happen. That's the mentality. And to watch women progress, and there was 1 year, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, where the women had basically surpassed the men in muscle size and leanness, not saying they were bigger than the guys, but just they were holding on to more muscle as they leaned out. They had figured out the process. And then it became, oh, where, you know, we need to make sure all these women are tested. And I was thinking, well, they're going to be tested. I said, but the point is, you can't figure it out, so you say they need to be tested. Granted, it's a natural show. Of course, we're going to be drug screened. I get that. But to say, you know, everybody that looks the way they look now is because they cheat. And I was thinking, well, how do you even make that make sense? Where everybody, because they did more than you, they're lacking in mind and willpower. I'm thinking, well, they got better. Of course, they're ahead of the game in mind and willpower and actual worth. But for some reason, I guess it was just easier to go after the women than it was to go after the guys. I mean, granted, the guys got accused of it too, myself included, but you don't take away from somebody's work and effort because you haven't figured out the scenario or the formula.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
You sure don't. And just so anybody listening doesn't get the wrong impression, I mean, yeah, we've been focused a little bit on the negatives, but the negatives we've been talking about tonight, they do need to be addressed because that's how perception is changed. But I still think there's a lot, well, not, I know there's a lot of positives still in the sport.
And Alex, I mean, let's get your view. What is, I mean, you're a coach now. You're not competing, but you're still a coach. You take, you know, like you said, the clients that are the most serious. So it's still something worth doing. What are some of the things that have you and your clients excited about the sport looking forward?
This is such a, this kind of sport is something that you can be, at any point of your life, you can do this. You know, not, you don't have a window. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be out of your prime at a certain age. I know some women that are in their 40s and 50s that look look better than most 20-year-olds, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And there's no limit to how far you can go. And that, when I say how far you can go, I'm not talking about how many shows you can win or how many weeks you can diet or anything like that. I'm talking about you can always look better. You can always strive to be better. So even if you're not competing, you can still, in your off season or, you know, after you finish competing, you can still continue to look better and better and to build muscle and to maintain a lean and healthy physique, which is awesome. And I love that about the sport. And if more people could get out of the mindset of there's an off season where I can be huge and then there's an in season, you know, bulking season, and then, you know, you get shredded. There is an in between that you can live and live comfortably and healthy and have a good balance. And
mm-hmm.
be within striking distance of always doing a show. You know, so you don't have to just go back and diet for another 30, 40 weeks in order to get yourself in that shape. It's
mm-hmm.
very rewarding. There's a lot of different shows out there where you can be rewarded for different kinds of physiques. Some organizations like a softer look, and some girls just can't get hard enough to do figure, but they have a lot of muscle. They just can't get lean enough. They can't get dry enough. So there's organizations that cater to those types of people, and then there's organizations that like the leaner, harder look, and, you know, there's so many different ways you can go, and there's so many different shows you can go to, and you can be rewarded in so many different ways by, you know, it's a reward in itself to just get to the stage, to say
Amen.
That you did it. That is awesome. That's the really cool part about the sport. And it brings people out of dark places in their life and kind of gives them something that they can focus on whenever. At any time of their life, they can do that. So I think that's really cool about the sport. And you can always try different diets, and you don't have to hire a coach. You can experiment on your own. And there's so many different ways to do it, and you can just have fun with it. There's unlimited possibilities in this sport, and that's a huge plus.
And there you go. And I think that's the perfect note to wrap on, because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's most important is, you know, for anyone who is interested in it, you can pick it up at any time, and getting to the stage is all of the fun. And at the end of the day, if you're a one and done, or you decide that, you know, you're not going to pursue it anymore, what have you lost? Nothing. You've gained, you know, a lot of self-discipline. You've gained a whole new set of friends and family from the other competitors in the sport. You've gained a different outlook on life and hopefully a healthier outlook for the rest of your life. You know, there just are more ups, I think, than the downs when it comes to the sport of natural bodybuilding.
Absolutely. And then with all the new nutrition and chemistry out there that we know now, we can actually learn how to eat in a regular lifestyle and not just competing and have that balance.
Yes.
And eating things that we want in moderation. So I just think it is really, really good that we have all that information now that people are willing to share. So you really don't lose, like you said, you don't lose anything from it.
Well, Alex, I would be remiss not to give you a chance to give shout-outs to the people that have just been in your corner since day one. So if you have time and still want to, go ahead and do that.
Absolutely. I want to give a shout-out to my sponsors, First Form and Supplement Superstores. here in St. Louis, and Titan Tuck, Team Titan. It's a weighted compression shirt, and Tammy Marie Suits, she made my suits for all of my shows. And then St. Louis Fitness Club, that's the gym that I trained out of majority of my career, and I'm still there today. So those people have been in my corner the entire time. So I just wanted to say thank you to all those people for still, to this day, having my back.
Love it. Beth?
Hey, I just want to say thank you, Alex, for everything that you've shared with us, just a lot of great perspective and, you know, things that we all need to think about and take to heart. And I'm just glad that you felt comfortable enough to let us in on that part of it with you. So all I got to say is keep shining, girl. You're doing a good work and a good job. So we just want to see more of that from you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show, and I am always willing to share my experiences with anyone who is willing to listen.
Okay, wait, hold on, before we forget. You can be reached at?
tcpqueenbee@gmail.com.
Love the name.
All right, well, you heard it there. If you want to contact the queen, it's PC. You said PCB? QueenBee@gmail.com?
PCP.
PCP, got it.
Yes.
I almost had it wrong. PCP.
It stands for something.
The complete package.
Oh,
there we go.
PCP, the complete package. I got it now. I would have been emailing the wrong person. Like, there is no Alex Ellis here. Get it right. Oh, my gosh. Thanks so much again, Alex. And we're going to have to do this again sometime.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks, Alex.
Wow. That is, you know, I just love all of our guests, really, but I just really love those that, you know, have been through the ups and downs and have still come out of it better than they went in.
Yeah. And she did, I mean, she's done so much for this sport. And, you know, usually the people that work the hardest get the most negativity thrown their way simply because they are breaking, well, groundbreaking. Let's be honest. They crack the foundation, and then they add something to it. And it's threatening to a lot of people that don't like change. Because, you know, the one thing that we get in trouble with is most of the time you feel uncomfort or discomfort is when you change. When somebody's either making you change or you're making a change or something has forced you to change and you get uncomfortable. You do get a little bit stressed. You do get a little bit agitated. And sometimes you say things that you shouldn't, but that won't stop the change. And I think that's what everybody is missing right now is natural bodybuilding is exploding because now people realize they don't have to do drugs to get that look.
And you don't. I mean, and it totally is across, you know, all of the categories. And just to jump back to what she was saying about wanting to win her pro card at the biggest show, so she was at Southern States Classic, John and Becky Arnold, who we're going to have on tomorrow, so you guys are going to want to listen in. But they put on a fantastic show. And to talk about how much it's exploding, Southern States Classic has gone to a two-day format. Bikini is its own division right now because there are so many competitors. And they wanted to make sure that all of the categories, all of the competitors, had a good experience and had the time that they needed in front of the judges, that it wasn't rushed, that it wasn't an incredibly long day. And so they basically run that show in three segments. They have bikini on a Friday night, and then Saturday they run figure and physique or, you know, in some combination, and then they have bodybuilding. And and they just really try to put on a quality effort, and it is a great experience. And but that just speaks to how much it's growing. And the more that bikini grows, it just keeps feeding the rest of the pipeline because their women fall in love with it, and then they decide that they want to experience the next level or whatever that next challenge is for them. And you know, good promoters just keep drawing out more athletes like that.
Yes, and the best part about it is they're bringing people to good health. And, you know, like I said, back in the day, I really couldn't speak like I speak now because there were some damaging things done as far as getting people competition ready. But now, I know that we have good nutritionists. I know we have good prep coaches. I know we have good gym coaches. I know people actually know what they're talking about, and the bro science is fading away, and thank God for it. I would bury it, and I would take away the tombstone so nobody could ever find it to, you know, even have some kind of memory of it. But it's to the point now where it can be successful because now you've seen what a healthy body, an actual, now let's be honest about that, an actual healthy body looks like on stage competing at the top of their game.
Truth. There you have it. And part of that is you're just getting more and more good, information. The science is being unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches are being more educated, and they understand the science. But, B, companies like P4P Muscle that are bringing the quality products that are enhancing what the athletes and the coaches are doing on their end and enhancing products with, I believe, cake batter protein.
Oh, yes, yes. And I have to give an apology for this because, you know, everyone by now should know I love Snickers. Love it, love it, love it. And if once you have it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And everybody that I put onto it has never corrected me or said, you know, you're wrong about what you were saying. But before that, there was cake batter. And it's not saying that it's a lesser product. It's just saying that Snickerdoodle tastes that much better to me. Honestly, I thank God that we can actually have protein that we can digest without sitting there running to the bathroom because it's basically running through it. So, hey, let's be honest. It's a great protein. Cake batter is a great protein. And it tastes just like cake batter. So, you know, you really have to take it in moderation so you don't overdo that. I really enjoy it.
I still haven't tried the Snickerdoodle yet. So I would have to say that cake batter is my go-to for the moment. Maybe I might be swayed, but either way, whichever flavor is your favorite, these products from P4P Muscle are their quality, and they're going to perform exceedingly well for you. So the great flavor on top of it is really just icing on the cake.
Exactly, yes, and that's what I'm saying. You know, it's a great product, and it actually tastes good enough. No, it tastes great, and that's the big plus about it because, like I said, back in the day, you either had good product or good taste. There was no in-between. There was no happy medium. It either worked or it tasted great. either one was basically the other side of the pendulum. So to have one that is both, I'm saying hallelujah and thank God because this is something I've been praying about.
Well, prayer answered. Prayer is answered.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, with that being said, again, John and Becky Arnold on tomorrow night, you're going to want to take a listen. If you've never participated in one of their shows or you're considering it, this is going to be the show for you. Kaylin, any parting thoughts for us?
I just hope everybody tunes in, especially if they're thinking about competing. There's still time to register for that show, and they'll let you know about that. But please don't wait too long because, my goodness, that show fills up fast, and they won't have space for you. So if you're thinking about it, don't think about it too long, and don't wait past this week for sure.
It is going to be big, and it was actually on my horizon there for a minute, but I got waylaid by a few things, and I'm not going to be ready like I wanted to for that show, so I'm kind of sad. And this year is their 20th anniversary, so you know it's going to draw a lot of folks to it. So if you're like Alex and you want to compete at the big shows, this is going to be a big show. So you're going to want to tune in, check it out, and get registered if you've been training and you feel like you're at a point to jump on that stage. But other than that, you know, on behalf of myself, Kaylin Patterson, and P4P Muscle,
yep.
Your body is a temple, so let's build it.